This morning, we again turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 to 3. This is the word of God. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. We're coming into the second week of Advent, and as we continue our reflections on this powerful prophecy, today we want to focus on the Anointed One, the Messiah, who will bind up the brokenhearted. What is Christmas about? It's about a Savior breaking in to bind up the brokenhearted. You don't have to live on this planet for very long before you see a lot of brokenness. As a pastor, I see brokenness every day. As we read our newspapers, we see brokenness. As we watch our news bulletins, as we read our novels and watch our movies, we see many illustrations of people whose hearts are broken, whose bodies are broken. We see war, famine, divorce, disability, disease, viruses, abortion, suicide, infertility, racism, prejudice, loneliness, disorder, civil unrest, greed, pride, lust, addiction. We could go on and on and on. In Romans chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, Paul sums up all of this brokenness. He says, "We know that the whole creation is in bondage to decay. The whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." Yes, there is much in life that is life-affirming and good. And in fact, we want to enjoy life. We want to live life as long as possible, even with all this brokenness. But we can't get around this. There's like a large fissure or a large crack running from top to bottom all the way through life, all the way through this planet. We are broken. Think of your own family. Think of your extended family. I'm sure you are working through many kinds of issues and situations and problems. Our world is broken. We see it every day. And yet we long for things to improve. As we think about Christmas, why do we need Christmas? We need it because we need God to step into this world. We need God to step into this brokenness and do something about it. Isaiah, in his great prophecy in chapter 61, foresaw the Anointed One who would step into all of this mess and begin to bind up the broken, to give a crown or a garland of beauty instead of ashes, to pour in the oil of gladness where there is despair and mourning. The Christian faith is many things, but above all, it is realistic. It sees the true condition of the human race and indeed of our world. It does not sweep it under the carpet. It does not ignore it. It doesn't ignore the presence of evil. No, Christianity sees the big picture of evil and provides big picture answers. The solution. It acknowledges that our world has fallen. It is imperfect. It is disordered. But God is on the case. God is working. He is starting to reverse that situation. And Romans speaks of the time when creation will be liberated from the bondage to decay. And this happens through this Messiah figure of which Isaiah speaks. Through this Anointed One, this suffering servant, we will be delivered from suffering. He will bind up the brokenhearted by himself being bound up and put on a cross to die. He himself will be a suffering servant. He will go through the pain of loss. And in doing this, he provides a way through which we will find our release and our redemption and our salvation. In the first Advent, Jesus breaks in as a vulnerable, helpless child. How could he best identify with the human race? By becoming a human being himself. How could he identify with the brokenhearted? By he himself being brokenhearted on the cross as he died for sin. No other faith has this wonderful identification with humanity. In other religions, God is out there and up there, and we have to do our best to please him through sacrifices or good works. Or for other religions or faiths or people, God is already in us, in here. In fact, we are gods. And through the steps of higher enlightenment, we become one with God. But the Christian faith is different. It speaks of a God who is, yes, out there, but who comes down here and steps into our world, who steps into our brokenness, who identifies with us and dies for us. God broke in the wonder of that first Advent. He broke in to rescue us, to bring life where there is death, wholeness where there is incompleteness, and joy where there is despair. So much of our loss is linked back to the great spiritual loss of separation from God, which we call sin. Sin is the rebellion of our hearts towards a holy God. At the core of sin is the unwillingness to give God the glory and to give God his place. Going way back to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve decided to take God off the throne and to put themselves there, that they knew best, that they knew better. And so they disobeyed God. God gave them one rule and they messed it up. And when that happened, all the other brokenness of life started to happen. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have a perfect world, but from Genesis 3 onwards, we have a broken world. And all our despair stems from an act of rebellion. So surely the way to deal with this brokenness is to deal with that act of rebellion. Everything you see ultimately is spiritual. And so the Anointed One of Isaiah's prophecy will start to restore the spiritual relationship between mankind and God. And once that is restored, then all the other parts of our lives start to be fixed. We mourn over our loss and our suffering, and the ultimate form of suffering is illness and death. But to reverse this, to bind up the brokenhearted, this will involve a spiritual repair. Jesus takes us in this direction in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5. It was only when I began to really study Isaiah 61 in detail that I saw the strong echoes of Isaiah 61 in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we saw that Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." True poverty that God blesses is when we recognize that we are spiritually bankrupt and we need a Savior. But then Jesus goes on, because there's a progression here. In Matthew 5, verse 4, he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." We see our sin, we see our poverty, and then we mourn over our situation. We mourn over the loss of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we want to put that right. We do that as we trust our lives to Jesus, who died for our sin. So how does Jesus fulfill this prophecy? How does he bind up the brokenhearted? He does it, first of all, by sorting out the primary cause of that brokenness, which is our rebellion. We can try and fix the brokenness of this world ourselves. We can help in a measure through counseling and medication and pills and surgery and so on and so forth. But these things do not address the fundamental brokenness that lies at the heart of life, a broken relationship with God. So when Jesus walked amongst us, he pointed to himself as the Savior. He fixed a lot of stuff and he fixed a lot of people when he walked amongst us. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the lepers of their leprosy. He restored hearing to the deaf, and he even raised the dead. But all of this was not just to highlight that he is God, but also to point to the fact that he brings an even greater healing through the cross. In Matthew 8 and 16, Matthew quotes from Isaiah 53. He says, "Jesus drove out the evil spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was written in Isaiah 53 and verse 4. He took up our infirmities, and he carried our diseases." And where did he do that best? He did it best on the cross. He died for our transgressions. He died for our sins. He bears and carries away our sins and disease and everything that comes from that broken relationship. He dealt with it on the cross. And this is where he starts the binding up work, the comforting work, the healing work. Once we rely on Jesus and trust in him, we start to get a proper perspective. We begin to replace a life of sin and selfishness with a life that glorifies God and flourishes in him. Everything starts to move around our relationship with God and begins to get fixed. Some of that hurt will not be fixed in this life. Sometimes we have to live with the consequences of brokenness until the second advent when Jesus returns. But sometimes he does break through today. Sometimes he does heal miraculously, as he did when he walked on this earth. But that's up to him. We pray, we have faith, but ultimately he is the one who heals. We gain a fresh perspective whenever we give our lives to Jesus. It enables us to live a God-glorifying life, even while still living with a measure of suffering and hurt and loss. Even in our pain and loss, we sense the reality of Jesus walking with us. We also find that our suffering draws us nearer to God and also nearer to others. And we are enabled to bring the comfort that we receive to give that comfort to others. Paul writes of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." The American writer Sharon James quotes a lady called Elizabeth Prentice, who lost two of her children to death at an early age. She said this, "I believe that the highest, purest happiness is known only to those who have learned Christ in sick rooms, in poverty, in painful suspense and anxiety, amid hardships, and at the open grave. To learn Christ, this is life." Jesus the Messiah came to bind up the brokenhearted. He does it first by restoring our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. He then walks with us through the myriad experiences of brokenness and loss that we will experience through this life. He says, "I feel your pain." Sometimes he will restore or even remove the pain. But sometimes he just walks with us through the valley of the shadow. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He will provide perspective for those who are depressed. He will provide a way through for the tempted. And he will comfort those who grieve the loss of a loved one in the knowledge that they shall see them again in the new heaven and the new earth. The pandemic this year has taken its toll on all of us. It has taken lives. It has taken livelihoods. It has brought pressure on relationships and in families. It has brought an increasing emotional and mental toll that will work itself out in the weeks and months ahead, even into the new year. Maybe like myself, you have noticed people have been putting up their Christmas trees and their lights a bit earlier this year, trying to bring a bit of cheer and joy into lives because it's been a grim winter. But you know, that kind of cheer, in a sense, is superficial. We need the joy of joys. We need the light of lights. We need the tree of trees, the tree of Calvary, to be planted firmly in our hearts. And as that happens, we find that Jesus comes in to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort those who mourn. Where there is the spirit of despair, he pours in anointing oil, and he clothes us with a garment of praise, even for those who mourn. Will you speak Jesus into the situations of life that you're encountering? He may take that painful situation away, but he may not. But when you bring him into it, he will bring a measure of comfort and perspective and hope. For he is the hope bringer, he is the peace bringer, the life bringer. I quoted Revelation 7 and 17 earlier. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Will you come to him today? Will you entrust your life today to the binder up of broken hearts? Will you follow him anew from today? The Lord has sent the Anointed One to bind up the brokenhearted, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And his name is Jesus.